CD 6.
It's from the Dungeon Dimensions, said the Dean. Cream the basket. The Arch-Chancellor laid a steadying hand on his shoulder. Don't be daft. Dungeon things have a lot more tentacles than things. They don't look made. They turned at the sound of another trolley. It rattled unconcernedly down a side passage, stopped when it saw or otherwise perceived the wizards, and did a creditable impression of a trolley that had just been left there by someone. The bursar crept up to it.
It's no use you looking like that, he said. We know you can move.
We all see you, said the Dean. The trolley maintained a low profile. It can't be thinking, said the lecturer in recent runes. There's no room for a brain. Who says it's thinking, said the Arch-Chancellor. All it does is move. Who needs brains for that? Prawns move. He ran his fingers over the metalwork.
Actually, prawns are quite intelligent, the senior wrangler began.
Shut up, said Ridcully. Is this made, though?
It's wire, said the senior wrangler. Wire's something that you have to make, and there's wheels. Hardly anything natural's got wheels.
It's just that close up it looks all one thing, said the lecturer in recent runes, who had knelt down painfully to inspect it the better. Like one unit, made all in one lump, like a machine that's been grown. But that's ridiculous.
Maybe. Isn't there a sort of cuckoo in the ramtops that builds clocks to nest in?
Said the bursar. Yes, but that's just a courtship ritual, said the lecturer in recent runes airily. Besides, they keep lousy time. The trolley leapt for a gap in the wizards, and would have made it except that the gap was occupied by the bursar, who gave a scream and pitched forward into the basket. The trolley didn't stop, but rattled onwards towards the gates. The Dean raised his staff. The Arch-Chancellor grabbed it. You might hit the bursar, he said. Just one small fireball? It's tempting, but no, come on, after it. Yo! If you like. The wizards lumbered in pursuit. Behind them, as yet unnoticed, a whole flock of the Arch-Chancellor's swear words fluttered and buzzed, and Windle Poons was leading a small deputation to the library. The librarian of the Unseen University knuckled his way hurriedly across the floor as the door shook to a thunderous knocking.
"I know you're in there," came the voice of Windle Poons. "You must let us in. It's vitally important."
"Ooh!
You won't open the doors?"
Ooh.
Then you leave me no choice.
Ancient blocks of masonry moved aside slowly. Mortar crumbled. Then part of the wall fell in, leaving Windle Poons standing in a Windle Poons-shaped hole. He coughed on the dust.
I hate having to do that, he said. I can't help feeling it's pandering to popular prejudice.
The librarian landed on his shoulders. To the orangutan's surprise, this made very little difference. A 300-pound orangutan usually had a noticeable effect on the person's rate of progress, but Windle wore him like a collar.
"I think we need ancient history," he said. "I wonder, could you stop trying to twist my head off?"
The librarian looked around wildly. It was a technique that normally never failed. Then his nostrils flared. The librarian hadn't always been an ape. A magical library is a dangerous place to work, and he'd been turned into an orangutan as a result of a magical explosion. He'd been a quite inoffensive human, although by now so many people had come to terms with his new shape that few people remembered it. But with the change had come the key to a whole bundle of senses and racial memories, and one of the deepest, most fundamental, most born in the bone of all of them was to do with shapes. It went back to the dawn of sapience. Shapes with muzzles, teeth and forelegs were, in the evolving simian mind, definitely filed under bad news. A very large wolf had padded through the hole in the wall, followed by an attractive young woman. The librarian's signal input was temporarily fused.
Also, said Windle, it is just possible that I could knot your arms behind you.
Ooh!
He's not an ordinary wolf, you'd better believe it.
Ooh? Windle lowered his voice.
And she might not technically be a woman, he added.